So welcome everybody to Parsha class for Bishalach 5771. Last week was the first time we had met for the Parsha. You, Doctor, was here, right?
No.
Not last week. Okay, you were here, the two of you. So we kind of try to give an overview for Shmos, Bo'era, and Bo. I realized afterwards that there was some unfinished business for Bo, so I'm going to do a quick recap and add a little bit more, and then go on to Bishalach. Of course, this year we're not really learning. I hate to say this, we're not learning Parsha for Parsha. We're learning Parsha for basics. We're trying to search for all of the Torah's basics for Jewish for Torah reality. And we're using the Parsha as a guide. And I think that's a sensible way to look for basics, because the Torah has basics in it as well as details. Now, in the book of Shmos, we introduced last time, we are no longer learning about Torah life or Torah reality from the eyes of the individual patriarchs who are living for the future. We're actually seeing Torah reality from the vantage point of the children who the patriarchs were living for. So we're really learning about ourselves and the reality of the book of Shmos is really the reality of our lives from a Torah perspective. Lest anyone think that the book of Shmos is primarily stories of the past, as so many Jews, unfortunately, associate the story of the Exodus from Egypt with. It's a story of the past. We cannot be satisfied with that, because we are taught by our tradition that we have to constantly remember the Exodus from Egypt. It's not just for Pesach, it's for every single day of the year. We do that when we recite the Shema, and in the third paragraph of the Shema, we recall the Exodus. We do that when we include remembering the Exodus as one of the six constant commandments. And we do that when we perform many mitzvos, and the mitzvos are supposed to remind us of the Exodus. So we cannot simply say that remembering the Exodus is remembering our history, because then we wouldn't have to do it every day. I mean, we're pretty good about keeping things in mind for at least a year. Then we have to review them. But if we have to remember something daily, that means that it's relevant to us daily. So the reality, the Torah reality of the book of Shmos is that Yetzias Mitzrayim is for us now. The Exodus from Egypt, the Egyptian slavery, and the Exodus is part of our lives daily. And what we talked about is that if we just make this one little linguistic innuendo, and we translate the word Mitzrayim, commonly known as Egypt, as Meitzarim, as boundaries or straits, or things that constrict us and bind us, then we can make that shift. Because we're constantly living within Meitzarim, within straits. And we are constantly seeking redemption from that. Well, hopefully we're seeking redemption. What we put forth yesterday is that, last week, thank you, is that all of the stories, all the details of the narrative of the people working hard under the antagonist Pharaoh, and God and crying out to God, and God sending a savior, and the Jewish people being told by the Savior that their situation is going to change, and their reaction to that, all of that speaks to us about the ordeals within our lives, our mitzvahim. Are we crying out to God? Do we recognize that we have mitzvahim? Or are we just happy-go-lucky, que sera, sera, c'est la vie, whatever is, that's how it is, don't expect anything to change? Or are we saying, you know, I've got a problem here. My life is not meaningful. Or I haven't found answers to my questions, and I don't feel that I am connecting as a Jew. And there's something wrong here, and I've got to get to the bottom of this. I need help. Or I have some other kind of issue. It may be a physical issue. It may be a financial one. It could be a whole host of mitzvahim. We're supposed to learn from the Torah that step one is to recognize it. Step two, cry for help. Ask your neighbor, ask your spouse. If you've got nobody to listen to, talk to God. God will send a savior. God will send a solution. Listen, look, consider that this solution can really work. You're going to be challenged whether or not you're going to believe in that solution. If you accept that there can be a solution, then you are in the process of Yetzias Mitzrayim. You are in the process of Exodus. It's a choice you have to make. Our conclusion yesterday was that Yetzias Mitzrayim is facilitated both by man and by God. It's a partnership. Even though God did the miracles, but only some of the people went out. Only the people that wanted to go out. Only the people that believed in redemption. And what I want to add today from Parshas Bo is that in order to qualify to be redeemed, there was required some commitment and some sacrifice. The people had to go through the procedure of the Paschal Lamb. And what that entailed was taking the god of the Egyptians, the sheep, and parading right in front of their eyes with the sheep. And when they say, "Hey Jew, where are you going?" You say, "I'm going to slaughter it as a Paschal offering to God." And they say, "What? Yesterday you were standing next to me and bowing to the sheep god. What are you doing today? Have you lost your mind?" And you have to say, "No, I found my mind." Goodbye with all of that chazarai, all of that idolatry that you do and that I used to do. I am becoming a Jew. You have to do that proudly. You have to do that in the face of jeers and in the face of whatever they'll throw at you. You have to undergo bris milah, circumcision. It hurts. It's a very serious commitment. It's a big statement. You have to take the blood of the lamb and put it on your doorpost and announce to the world, "I am a Jew." So, again, it's all the part of the process of redemption. God promises to redeem us if we engage him in the process. If we say, "Yes, number one, I've got something to be redeemed from, and number two, I want to be redeemed. God help me." This is the process of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We have not gone into details, but suffice it to say that every Jew, every person should recognize that this is not just some history lesson, that this is a roadmap, a Jewish Torah basic roadmap for our lives.
Yes. Can you please repeat what you said? God promises to redeem us.
I don't know if I said it the best way. God promises to redeem us if we will embark on that redemption process. if we want it, if we commit to it, if we put ourselves out to it, we take a stand. It's man and God together. And now, I ask my annual question. My annual question. The story continues in Parshas Bishalach. And in Parshas Bishalach, we have the other part of the story, Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea. And what's my annual question? Why does the story have to keep on going? Why wasn't it enough to go out of Egypt after the 10 plagues and be finished? Why did there have to be another chapter? Oh, and just when we thought we were out, there goes Pharaoh after us. It's not over. Another ordeal. We're trapped. God, please save us. Another miracle. Another salvation. Why does there have to be this extended redemption? What was wrong with the first one? It's my annual question. I don't think I'll ever stop asking the question and looking for answers. You know, if this is the roadmap, we should say there's Mitzarim, there's straits and boundaries, there's redemption, finished. What's this extra add-on? And then there's the crossing of the sea and the redemption from that. Remember that question that it keeps on coming up? Okay. Well, I asked it probably for the last 5 years. But anyway, this is one of those questions that I never stop asking. So we're going to take another stab, because once again, we're looking for basics. Perhaps the regular Yetzias Mitzrayim is the big picture of our lives, and the splitting of the sea are the daily challenges. You see, in Mitzrayim, our existence, I mean, it was bad. It was very bad. I don't know if there was any point in time in which the Jewish people were at a perilous moment of life and death. And suddenly, zap, salvation came. I'm not sure. The way I see it, it was just an existence. Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Egyptian slavery, was an existence. It's just the way we lived. You could either say, I hate it, I want to get out of it, I want to change, or you could say, I'll live with it. What we've learned until now, Yetzias Mitzrayim, is the story of changing your life in the big picture, realizing that it doesn't have to continue this way. You can get out, and you can change, and you can be redeemed. So that's Yetzias Mitzrayim. All of the things that we've mentioned until now. But you know, even if all that is true, there are still daily challenges. There are daily challenges. What am I going to eat? How am I going to make a living? I'm having trouble with this child. I'm having trouble with my spouse. I'm having trouble with my boss. Something just happened to my house, etc. And on and on and on, and it never ends. And those things are not really, don't seem to be part of the big picture. They just seem to be part of life. It struck me that when Hashem appeared to Abraham in the Bris Ben Habasarim, in the covenant between the parts, and he told him, you know, in the future, your children are going to suffer in slavery in Egypt. He didn't say Egypt, but he was referring to that. He says, you're going to be strangers, that your children are going to be strangers, they're going to be servants, and they're going to be afflicted for many years, and then the redemption is going to come. Hashem didn't tell him, and they're going to stand by the sea and not have any way to pass. And they are going to, after they pass through that, they are going to be in the wilderness, and they're not going to have any water. And after they get some water, they're not going to have any food. And after that, they're going to be attacked by Amalek. Those things he didn't tell Abraham, because those are not the big picture things. Those are the daily challenges of life. So in Shmos, Va'era, and Bo, the Jewish people are embarking on the big picture redemption. Parshas B'Shalach, Hashem is introducing, welcome to real life. And five times they go through this. Five times in the Parsha of B'Shalach. I just for the drama of the peril and the salvation. Peril, salvation. Peril, salvation. Five times. It's breathtaking just to read the verses. I've excerpted a few verses here. The first time at the sea, 14:10. Pharaoh approached. The children of Israel raised their eyes, and behold, Egypt was journeying after them, and they were very frightened. The children of Israel cried out to Hashem. They said to Moses, "Were there no graves in Egypt that you took us to die in the wilderness? What is this that you have done to us to take us out of Egypt?" Peril. Salvation. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. Hashem moved the sea with a strong east wind all the night, and he turned the sea to damp land, and the water split. The children of Israel came within the sea on dry land, and the water was a wall for them on their right and on their left. Peril, on the brink of destruction, salvation. In a moment's notice. Chapter 15. 23. They came to Marah, but they could not drink the waters of Marah because they were bitter. Therefore they named it Marah. The people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" He cried out to Hashem. And Hashem showed him a tree. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. Peril. Salvation. A little thing. Water. Chapter 16. They journeyed from Elim, and the entire assembly of the children of Israel arrived at the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, etc. The entire assembly of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The children of Israel said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of Hashem in the land of Egypt as we sat by the pot of meat when we ate bread to satiety. For you have taken us out to this wilderness to kill this entire congregation by famine." Peril. What are we going to eat? A small thing. I don't mean small. I mean, it's a detail. We don't have food. Salvation. Hashem spoke to Moses, saying, "I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, in the afternoon you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be sated with bread, and you shall know that I am Hashem your God." The quail and the manna. Again, peril with water. Chapter 17. The entire assembly of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin to their journeys according to the word of Hashem. They encamped in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. The people contended with Moshe and said, "Give us water that we may drink." The people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses. Again, salvation. Hashem said to Moses, pass before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel, and in your hand take your staff with which you struck the river, and go. Behold, I shall stand before you by the rock in Horeb. You shall strike the water and strike the rock, and water will come forth from it, and the people will drink salvation. And finally, at the end, the entire parsha, from beginning to end, chapter 17 again, Amalek came and battled Israel at Rephidim. Destruction again, peril. Moshe said to Joshua, choose people for us and go to do battle with Amalek. It happened that when Moses raised his hand, Israel was stronger. And when he lowered his hand, Amalek was stronger. Joshua weakened Amalek and its people with the sword's blade. Salvation. Welcome to life. There are constant challenges, and God is constantly there to save us. This is what the Shalach adds to the drama. Yetzias Mitzrayim is kind of that big picture. Who we are, where are we going in life, do we recognize that we can change, that life can get better, and of course, as we spoke out last week, the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is not just so that we can get rid of our servitude. It's so that we can form a relationship with the God who redeems us. Remember, we quoted Rav Aaron Cutler as saying that people really only believe and accept and commit if they feel that they have personally benefited. In this case, we will commit, we will believe in Hashem. We will commit to Hashem. Ultimately, next week, we will accept His Torah because we recognize that He saved us. That is the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the turning over of our lives to God, because God has set us on the path, on the right path. But then there are the many steps, there are the day-to-day challenges that we will always confront, and that is depicted by Parshas V'Shalach. And what is our response? What is our response to the daily perils and the daily redemptions? Of course, it has to be Shira. It has to be song. It has to be, thank you, Hashem. I was in trouble. And I didn't know where my salvation was going to come from. I couldn't figure it out. I just couldn't figure it out. But you did. I'm going to sing to you. Every time you do this, I'm filled once again with gratitude, with love, with a sense of being cared for, and it makes me want to be more and more your servant. That is the response of Shira that is accomplished every time we go through these perils and these salvations, if we follow the roadmap of the Torah. You know, I didn't see anybody say this, but how many times a day, if we really live this way, how many times a day can we go through the splitting of the sea and sing Shira to Hashem? Couldn't we just do it all day long, from morning till night, if we had this perspective? We really could. And just like we have to remember the Exodus from Egypt every day, well, in our prayers, we're constantly talking about Kriya Samsu. And every day in our prayers, we say the Az Yashir. Why do we have to say the Az Yashir, the Song of the Sea, every single morning? Maybe the sages are telling us something, that we should be singing to Hashem every day, because we're always going through these challenges and we're always getting through them. In recent years, I've been starting to see, like, how many times do I go through challenges that I don't know the solution for, and it works out some way? It works out. Sometimes the way I thought, sometimes not the way I thought. We're here, right? We're here. The last 200 challenges, I got over them. And if I didn't, there's a reason for it. But how many times has Hashem led me through the Yam Suf? Am I singing? That's basic. Torah basic is make Kriyas Yam Suf and Shiras Hayam part of your life. And here's the final point. How come, if this is so obvious, how come we don't live this way? How come we don't necessarily see all the challenges in life as Kriyas Yam Suf and all the salvations as Hashem splitting the sea for us, and we're not forthcoming with Shira, with song? Just a simple observation. The only people that experienced Kriyas Yam Suf and sang the Shira were the people that wanted to leave Mitzrayim. The people that didn't leave Mitzrayim did not experience Kriyas Yam Suf. You see, one of the fringe benefits of going through the process of Shemos, Bo'era, and Bo, the process of acknowledgement and asking for help and believing in the solution and allowing God to come into your life, one of the fringe benefits, if you can call it that, of Parshas, Shemos, Bo'era, and Bo, and the commitment and the blood and the slaughtering of the idols, one of the fringe benefits is that you get to be in Parshas B'Shalach. And you get to see all those challenges be overcome by Hashem's salvation. And you get to sing. But if you're not in Shemos, Vo'era, and Bo, you're not going to be in B'Shalach. That's the message. Sure, we don't look at life like this. This is idyllic, what we're describing here. Sure, we don't see this. We don't sing Shira 10 times a day. But is that maybe because we haven't gone through the first three parshios? I don't know. It's a question for consideration. But to me, this is once again basic. It's not basic that I've always thought about this. It's basic because with your help, I'm actually looking for and discovering these things, that they should be basic. But, could you imagine experiencing the peril and the thrill of Kriyas Yam Suf every single day and responding with Shira, whether it's a small thing like, just under your breath, thank you, Hashem, thank you for getting me through this one. You know, that kind of inspiration can be the heritage of the Jew. If the Jew takes Sefer Shemos as though it is the blueprint for his own life, then B'Shalach can be our heritage. Shiras Hayam can be the song that is on our lips every single day of our lives. Shkoach.
Yeah, Shkoach. Brilliant.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You first would be thanked. A few comments. First of all, I can't say there's a difference between redemption and salvation. To be redeemed is one thing. To be saved is something a little different. Redeeming, I take it, means being changed for all time. Your life is now suddenly made worthwhile. You have meaning to your life.
Mm.
Salvation is a one-time only.
Right.
Save me from hunger, save me from drowning, save me from death. So like salvation is what the book of Shemos is. Redemption is what the first part of it is, you know, with the lamb and the plagues, etc. So there's
very well put.
Subtle difference
very well
between
put.
Redemption and salvation.
Very well put.
The next thing about song,
Ge'ula and Yeshua.
Mm-hmm. You know, Minamitzar Karasi, you know, mm-hmm. from the Meitzar or the constricted
beautiful,
area.
Beautiful.
It's Ryan.
Beautiful.
Some people said in Arabic the word for Egypt is Mitzar. Mitzar. And some people have said that Egypt is a strange country. It only has one dimension, length. the Nile. That's all there is to Egypt. It's the Nile. It's only got one direction.
4,000 miles or something?
Right, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah, interesting.
The third thing had to do with, you said, there are six repetitive commandments.
Constant mitzvahs, yeah.
Constant, what are those?
Whenever the Torah uses the word remember, that's what it is. Because remembrance is constant. So Shabbos, remember the Shabbos day. Remember the day you left Egypt. Remember what Amalek did. Remember how what happened to Miriam when she was contracted leprosy for speaking Lashon Hara.
I remember it.
Mm-hmm. It uses the word Zachor. Remember how you angered God in the desert. That was with the golden calf. And
so whenever they have rock in the heart.
Well, yeah, there's one more. I always forget the last one of every list. Tell me there's seven and I'll think of it.
Singing, okay.
Oh, one little thing. I saw in a sefer on the meaning of prayer. It quotes the Midrash, because in the morning davening, when we talk about Kriyas Yamsuf, we say, Shira Chadasha Shibchu Geulim, a new song the redeemed ones praised. And the feminine form for song is used. Shira Chadasha, a new song. In Tehillim, we find the phrase, Haleluka Shirulo Shir Chadash, in the masculine. And that is supposedly in reference to the song of the future redemption. So the Midrash says, why is Kriyas Yamsuf referred to as Shira Chadasha in the feminine? Because the Midrash answers that the feminine represents recurring travail and recurring thing, song.
Cyclical.
Because a woman has a baby, and in the process of childbirth, she undergoes pain, and then she undergoes the jubilation of the birth. And then once again, she has another child, again pain, again jubilation. So a woman is cyclical. So Shira Sayon then represents the song of the Son of the Sea, represents not the final song to end all songs. It's the song that we'll sing today. And tomorrow, when we have another problem, and that one gets settled, we'll sing it again. In other words, it's this idea that we're saying that the Shira Sayam is not that ultimate one-time deal. It is the recurring, the constant recurring travails of life. And every dose of going through that cycle should give a Jew a boost and make him or her, you know, feel that much more connected and thankful and grateful on Hashem.
Women are sick as a menstrual cycle.
That's also true, yes.
That is very, very, very interesting. Now, one little comment about song. Once my father would say, two people cannot talk at the same time. One person talks, two people talk at the same time, it doesn't work. However, two people and even more can sing at the same time.
Very nice.
Furthermore, if you say something once, fine. If you say it again, it gets monotonous. Song, on the other hand, you can keep singing it over
even if it's the same tune.
And over again.
Nice.
And it gets better as it goes along.
So, very nice.
Yasher Koach.
All right.
Very nice.
Thanks to all of you for coming.
Right. All right. I'll send those guys.